today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
So Jesus, now in a series of parables, teaches us the importance of being ready for his return. Basically, whenever you have a parable has one main lesson. And that one main lesson in these parables is that we should be ready. So he gives us three parables today: the thief, watchfulness; the servants, faithfulness; and the 10 virgins, the lesson is readiness.
Be prepared. It's the Boy Scout motto and a good rule to live by. No matter how much you plan, things don't always happen the way you think they will. So that's why you have to be ready. Today, Pastor John shares that God wants you to be ready too. As you dive into several parables, you'll see that they all point out different aspects of readiness. You see, Jesus will come back someday, but we don't know exactly when that will be. That's why you need to live ready for that time. You need to be prepared. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, as he begins his message, Ready for His Return.
Jesus is giving us in this Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, the signs of his coming. And we need to remind ourselves almost weekly when we go through this section of Scripture that it's a response that Jesus gave based on three questions that were asked in verse 3. Look at it with me in your Bible, 24:3. The disciples asked Jesus, "When shall these things be?" That is, when shall Jerusalem be destroyed? Then the second question, what should be the sign of your coming? That is the second coming. What signs will precede your second advent? And then, and of the end of the age, the word is aionios, or age, the Jewish age. So three questions. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? Now, all the way through this series, I keep reminding you that when they ask what are the signs of your coming, they are asking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're not asking about the rapture. They're asking about the second coming. Now, you might say, well, what do you mean by rapture? What's the rapture? The rapture is an event by which Christ will descend from heaven, and the dead who have died in Christ, their bodies will be resurrected. Those who are alive and remain, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, will be raptured. The Greek word is harpazo, or caught up, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we forever be with the Lord. Now, the reason I say this is because I want to be absolutely clear that everything we're going to read about today in this passage, in its primary interpretation, is not about the rapture, it's about the second coming. And it's written to those who are alive during the tribulation after the rapture and will be here on earth when Christ returns. All the signs in the Olivet Discourse about his coming are signs in the tribulation that will precede his second coming. So you need to keep these clear. A lot of confusion today. People take rapture verses and they combine them with second coming verses, or they don't believe in a rapture, they believe in a second coming, and just a lot of confusion. Jesus introduced the rapture in John 14 when he said, "I go to prepare a place and I'll come again and I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it starts at verse 51, Paul the Apostle says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all die, but we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." And he said, "This corruptible," referring to his body, "will put on incorruption. This mortal body will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death swallowed up in victory. O grave, where is thy sting? O sin, where is thy victory?" So Jesus is coming back to rapture. Then the classic rapture passage, and by the way, at the end of this series, The Return of the King, I'm going to do an in-depth teaching on the rapture of the church. But the classic passage is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it starts at verse 13, where Paul says to the believers in Thessalonica, "I don't want you to sorrow about your loved ones who have died and be ignorant about those that have died, that you have no hope. For if we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Use the word harpazo, means to be raptured or caught up. So those are the classic rapture passages, but we're not talking about the rapture at all in these verses. You go, you told us all that to tell us it's not in our verses? Yes. Because I want you to keep them separate and distinct. The rapture will happen. There'll be 7 years of tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, Christ comes back in second coming in power and glory. Now, in verse 32 to verse 36, and I'm just warming up to the passage, he gave us the parable of the fig tree. And the parable of the fig tree is intended to tell us that those who are living during the time of the tribulation, when they see those signs, they'll know that Christ's coming, his second coming, is nigh even at the door. And then he gave us in verse 37 to verse 41 the story of Noah and the days of Noah. That as God told Noah to build a boat, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage. The wicked of Noah's day didn't expect a flood to come. And it wasn't until Noah went into the ark and God shut the door and the rains came down that God said, that the scriptures say that Noah was safe in the ark and all those wicked were swept away unexpectedly. They weren't looking for the coming of the Lord. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, but they weren't living in expectation and readiness. So now the question is that Jesus is answering is, are you ready for his return? I want you to see the key verse, verse 44. In verse 44 of Matthew 24, therefore be ye also ready. There it is. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. When he says the Son of Man comes, he's referring to his second coming, his second advent at the end of the tribulation period. So Jesus, now in a series of parables, teaches us the importance of being ready for his return. Basically, whenever you have a parable has one main lesson. And that one main lesson in these parables is that we should be ready. So he gives us three parables today. The thief, watchfulness, the servants, faithfulness, and the 10 virgins, the lesson is readiness. So we're going to look at three stories. The thief teaching us to be watchful, the servants teaching us to be faithful, and the 10 virgins, Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, that we should be ready for his return. Let's look first at this parable of the thief, verse 42 down to verse 44. Follow with me in your Bible. Jesus says, watch therefore, for ye know not the hour when the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good men of the house had known in which watch or time of the night the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Here's the point. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. Now, I want you to understand that as far as prophecy and signs and chronological order is concerned, this is a parenthesis. This is a parenthetical section where he actually is telling us parables, basically to teach us to be ready for his return. Now, notice in verse 42, we have the principle. Watch therefore. By the way, lest I forget, if you look down in chapter 25 and verse 13, it opens with the same statement. Watch therefore. So basically, he's saying the same thing in all of these verses. Be awake, be alert, be watchful. So watch therefore, which takes us back to the days of Noah, when they weren't expecting the flood to come and they were all swept away in judgment. So you need to watch and you need to be ready. And as I said, the word watch there means to be keeping your eyes wide open. Why? Because you know not what hour the Lord doth come. So he gives us the principle in verse 42. You must stay awake. You must stay alert. You must not go to sleep. Now it has its first and primary application to the Jews, Israel, and the tribulation saints, people who missed the rapture but heard in the tribulation. They'll turn to God, they'll trust in Jesus, they'll be looking for his return, but they need to stay alert, they need to keep watching. Now, the parables in verse 43, but know this, that if the good men of the house, that's the head of the household, the head who owns the home, if he had known in which watch, now the watch there is the time of night. They had different watches through the night in the Roman reckoning. If he knew what time the thief would come, this is a story about a thief coming to rob a house, then he would have watched, the word there means to be on guard, and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. And then in verse 44 is the practice. Here's the application. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man, that messianic title for Jesus, he will come again. Now, the interesting picture there is that of the thief. How many of you ever had someone rob you? Had your car broken into? Had your house broken into? Have a son-in-law that was out surfing and someone saw him hide his keys and they broke into his car, took his keys, took his wallet, took all his credit cards, locked up his car and left with the keys. So it was a real nightmare to try to get that all sorted out. And I've had similar things happen, or maybe you come back to your car and a window's broken out and someone has robbed you and you feel so violated, or maybe someone's robbed your house. You come home and you find a back door open or a window broken. They've come in to rob you. So Jesus says, just like a thief that comes in, if you knew when the thief was coming, you would be watching and waiting and it wouldn't happen, right? That's because thieves don't call you and tell you when they're going to rip you off. It would be the considerate thing for them to do. It would be the nice thing for them to do. Mr. Miller, yes. Yeah, we've been casing your house and we want you to leave your key under the floor mat because Saturday night about 3 a.m. we're going to break in and rob your house, okay? Okay, great, got it. I mean, you're going to be waiting with your guard dogs, your shotgun, the police department, the FBI, the CIA. And you're going to be waiting for them because you know when they're coming. So the thought here is, it's very simple, thieves come unexpectedly. You don't expect a thief to come. You're not ready for them to come. The other day I walked out of a store and I thought someone stole my car. It was gone. Like, whoa, freaking out. And then I realized, no, I parked it over here. Pray for me. Pastor needs help. He doesn't know where he parks his car. I was like, oh no, someone stole my car. I'm all freaking out. And he's like, oh no, it's over here. But Jesus said it's like a thief. Now, let me make something clear. Jesus is not a thief, okay? He's coming like a thief. He's just using a story to illustrate, you won't be expecting me when I come. That's the theme through all of these parables. When you are not expecting it, the Lord will come. Now, I want to make this very clear. One of my goals in teaching through the Olivet Discourse is just to be clear, to explain the passage. And in its primary interpretation, it's not referring to the church living today waiting for the rapture. It's talking about Jews who will be on the earth during the tribulation. Some actually say that Jesus is leading up to the parable of the virgins in chapter 25, in which he will judge Israel. The true Israel will be saved, and those who reject Messiah will be lost in the picture of the wise and the foolish virgins. But you know, after the rapture, many Jews will turn to Jesus. Many Gentiles will turn to Jesus. And there will be a time of great evangelism, and people will be saved. People have this false idea that the Holy Spirit leaves during the tribulation. Not so. He will be actively working and people will be being saved and coming to Christ and salvation during that time. So he's telling these people who are alive on the earth just before the second coming during the tribulation that they should be living in expectancy and looking for the coming again of Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Pastor John, it doesn't have any application to us as the church, only in a secondary sense of that we don't know when the rapture is going to happen. Now, the difference between the second coming and the rapture is imminent. That means nothing has to happen before we get raptured. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're not looking for the sun to turn to blackness. We're not looking for the moon to turn to blood. We're not looking for signs. We're looking for the Savior. And Jesus Christ could come and rapture us before this sermon is over. I could dig that, couldn't you? I'm ready to go. When you love Jesus and you're living close to the Lord, any time is a good time to get raptured and be with Jesus Christ. But he's not talking to us, but it does have application. You need to be ready. If the rapture happened, would you get caught up? Now you say, well, how do I get ready? You get born again. That's what you do. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again, which means you must be born from above. Your race won't get you into heaven, Nicodemus. I know you're a Jew, but that doesn't get you to heaven. Your religion won't get you to heaven, Nicodemus. You can't go by your own religion or righteousness, not by works of righteousness. How are we born again? Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. And then it goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should never perish, but have everlasting life. How do you get ready for the Lord to rapture you? You get born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. You must turn from your sin. You must believe that he died for you by receiving him through faith. It's an act of your will by saying, I trust you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. Come into my heart, forgive my sins, and make me your Savior. Now, I want you to hold your place here in Matthew 24 and flip real quick. I can't resist it. And look at 1 Thessalonians 5, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. These are a marvelous parallel passage that gives application and clarity to the church. He says, but of the times and the seasons, verse 1, brethren, he's writing to Christians, you have no need that I write unto you. Now, when he's talking to the church, he says, I don't need to tell you the chronology. I don't need to tell you the characteristics, the seasons. I've already taught you about the signs of the end time. He says, for you yourselves know perfectly, verse 2, that the day of the Lord will come, and here's our term, like a thief in the night. Now, that day of the Lord is not the rapture here. It's the tribulation. He's saying the tribulation period will come like a thief in the night. And he says, when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now, I'm trying to resist the temptation to do exposition on these verses, but I do want to point something out. In verse 3, they, them, and they shall say, peace and safety. Sudden destruction comes upon them as a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then notice the change in verse 4, but ye brethren. So he's talking in verse 3 about non-Christians, unbelievers, who will be caught by the thief. They will go into the tribulation period. But you, he's talking to the church, the believers, that day will not overtake you as a thief. Now, notice these characteristics of this tribulation period. It comes like a thief in the night, verse 2. It starts with peace and safety. Antichrist makes a covenant of peace with the nation of Israel for 7 years. And then sudden destruction comes upon them. In the middle of the tribulation, there's the abomination of desolation, as upon a woman with child. And then notice the fourth characteristic, verse 3. They shall not escape. There's no escaping this day of the Lord, this tribulation that's coming upon the earth. But that day will not overtake us as the church. Why verse 5? You're the children of the light. You're the children of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Because we're children of the day, we're not sleeping. Because we're children of the day, let us watch and be sober, verse 6. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That is the hope of one day we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, all of these verses there in Thessalonians, Paul is saying, we're children of the day, so we're not going to go through the tribulation. We're children of the light. We're not going to be caught unawares by that thief. But the idea is we need to live watchfully. Go back with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. So here's the main lesson of the first parable of the thief. Watch out. Be alert. Stay awake. If you knew someone's going to rob your house, you would be awake, alert, and watching to prevent that. Now, he gives us a second story or parable. It's in verse 45 to 51. It's of the two servants. One is faithful. The other one is faithless, called an evil servant. Let's read the passage. He says, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to do something, to give them their food in due season? So it's the picture of a steward. Blessed or happy is that servant, verse 46, whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find him doing. That's the idea that you're busy, you're faithful, you're doing what God has called you to do. Verily or truly, I say unto you, verse 47, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And when we are faithful in the small things, God will give us more things. And we stand before that bema, we will be rewarded. But notice we have then the evil servant, verse 48. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming. Now, that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to forget about it. You don't want to live in apathy or complacency. You don't want to mock the idea of the coming again of Christ. You want to live in light of the Lord's coming. But this evil servant is motivated because he says, oh, the Lord delays his coming. And what he does is begin to smite his fellow servants and begin to eat and drink with the drunken. Remember, we just read in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we're children of the day, so we're not sleeping. We're children of the day, so we're not drunk. We're sober and we're awake. But notice verse 50. For the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he's not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder. And this is pretty graphic language. And remember, Jesus is speaking here. It's in red, indicating in the Lord speaking. Shall cut him asunder. Actually means saw him in two. And appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's no other way to interpret this other than Jesus saying they go to hell. They're lost. They reject Messiah. When he returns, they will be judged. They will be the tares, not the wheat. They will be the goats, not the sheep. And we're going to get into that in chapter 25. Now, Jesus tells the story of a homeowner, and he's a wealthy man. He's got all these servants. He's going to take a trip. And so he gives the servant the job. When I'm gone, I want you to basically feed the household. I want you to pay the bills. I want you to take care of everything, feed the servants, feed the household. And the first servant is faithful. He does what his master required him to do. And he knew that his master would come back and there would be a day of reckoning. Then the second servant says, he's not coming back for a long time. He's not going to come back. So he began to get drunk. He began to eat. He began to hang out. He began to smite his fellow servants. He wasn't faithful.
If you knew that someone was going to try to come and steal your car at a certain time of the day, you'd be on alert. You'd be watching for the thief, ready to call the cops if he showed up. Well, the take-home from today's message was to practice that same kind of readiness in your spiritual life. Pastor John began to move through the parables that Jesus shared about being on alert for his return. He will come like a thief in the night, and you need to be watching for him.
Thanks for listening to Revival Radio today. If you live in the Southern California area, I'd love to meet you personally. We have Bible study and fellowship on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. find out about our church in Menifee, California, check out our website, revival.tv, for service times and directions. Love to see you there.
The data is in. The social media feeds that we follow are the ones that matter the most to us. We know that Revival Radio is a big part of your discipleship, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to serve you. Have you checked out our social media pages? Revival.tv is the place to find all the links. That's Revival.tv.
Come back next time when Pastor John continues to take a deeper look at a few more parables about readiness. Jesus shared these stories with his followers so that they would better understand their need to be prepared for his second coming. And now, over 2,000 years later, his return is even closer. That makes this message even more timely and important. Thanks for joining Pastor John today, and we hope you'll tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.